Welcome everyone to another issue of the Comic Chronicle podcast. I am your host, Society's Mutant / Metahuman, Dakota Morgan, coming to you from Phoenix, Arizona. And right now, I have with me a very, very special guest. You've heard him before on the show. You have heard him before about the Jurassic or Building a Dream Origins cartoon. I'm drawing a blank on it because right now I have mutants on the mind, folks. That is my buddy, Victor Hudgens, here today. How you doing, Victor?
I am doing good, Dakota, man. Oh, you kind of stuttered there, but did you have a long day?
Oh, it's been a very long day. It's one of those of you tried, like, I have so much on the mind of what we're going to talk about today that I just tried changing it, and my mind's like, oh, shit, you're going to have a stroke.
Yeah, no, don't do that, brother, ooh. Because I tell you what, man, we are seriously getting up in the mutants, bro. You better activate your mutant gene, your X gene, bro, because we need some of that stamina to talk about what we're talking about today.
Oh, my God. And you know what, folks? That is because we are talking about the X-Men. But right now, this episode isn't going to be as crazy as the next one because this is part one in our X-Men talk, where we're covering the TV shows and the movies. And part two is going to be comics and pop culture. And folks, if you know anything about the X-Men comics, holy fuck, this is going to be a big one because this is our Comics and Coffee talk show, if you haven't already figured it out. Victor is our guest today, but Victor, that comics one, man, when that comes out, fuck, we're going to need a lot of, I'm not like all kidding aside, we're going to need a lot of coffee. Because
you're gonna need a lot of coffee, bro. That's gonna be a pretty good episode right there, folks.
It's gonna be.
Well, you know what? We can't down this one though either, because this one's gonna be just as good.
It is, but not as crazy though, because the X-Men comics are always crazy, man. Like, wait, time travel, different Earths.
Whoo! And it's yeah.
Yeah, there's shows dedicated to it. I mean, there's at least podcasts dedicated to comics and all things X-Men. Shout out to Jay Miles, Explain X-Men.
I found a couple of them. I can't remember the people's names, but I have found a couple of them, though.
Have you ever listened to Jay and Miles Explain X-Men?
No, but I will put that on my list right now, actually. Yeah, I'm going to jot that down.
Been listening to it for years, man. They got their own merchandise, and they go through the comics from the beginning. They've been going on for a long time, but
hey, you say you got me sold right there, man. Just to saying the fact that they dedicate the X-Men.
Right? Oh, God, yeah. And, folks, right now, I'm looking at the screen because our levels right now, and, you know, this is the behind-the-scenes thing because we got a new mic, so I hope it's sounding great because new equipment, folks. It's a wonderful thing when you have at least a little bit of money for 0.5 seconds. Really is, right? So I'm here with my coffee. I'm here with Victor, folks. And, Victor, we're starting out with TV shows, so kind of diving in today, folks. We wanted to talk about, for those maybe who don't dive into the X-Men as much, because there is people out there who are like, well, I don't really know anything about a certain TV show or a movie, or people don't really watch the X-Men sort of things, in which case I say blasphemy, because on this Comics and Coffee special, we definitely say you need to watch these, because
yeah, I mean, if you have to, folks, download an app or something, because I know they don't play the shows anymore. Like, well, the good ones, at least, on the, you know, like they used to, you know, like the old animated series and all that stuff. Man, that's where it's at, folks.
It is. Oh, my God, yeah. You know, we're starting right now with the animated series, because we'll start there, because the first animated series, just called X-Men, ran from 1992 to 97, so it ended the year I was born. So, whatever that means. But, But I want to say first, too, is, you know, that was the first show, and it started when I was born and whatnot. But man, folks, if you haven't yet, check out our Superman in comics episode, because it's a wonderful thing. Like, X-Men, I don't know, but Victor, I don't know, because they, and I'll mention this briefly in the next zone too, but I want to say right now is that X-Men themselves have helped me grow up into, really, I try to be a nice guy, and I try to be, like, my morals and everything like that, grown up, came from, when I was a kid, a little kid, came up from X-Men. Came up from one of these cartoons and then the movies and everything like that. Like, my good morals come from Supes, obviously, Professor X, Magneto, Kitty Pryde, and, you know, and a few of the X-Men. Like, the X-Men helped bring me to what I am today, and I'm always forever thankful of that because of what they taught me, these great, excellent stories, and also Biggie, to not be a dick to other people because of difference. And I got a sticker. There's a sticker. I don't know if you saw it or not. If I posted it on Facebook or not, if you saw it, Victor, I got a bumper sticker. It's on my, it's been on my workshop, on my desk, whatever I have, it's on there to show, because, you know, some of us don't want to be like everyone else. Some of us are different, and some of us are, depending on, especially in the arts, and nerdom and fans and everything like that, you know, we're mutants. There's mutants in the world, and the X-Men show us mutants are great, and the bumper stickers is a classic saying from one of our movies we're going to cover today, Mutant and Proud. And
Mutant and Proud. I think you did post that one.
Did you see that one? But it's,
I think so. That sounds familiar. Either that or I've seen it somewhere else. I don't know if it's a one of a kind or anything, but
I mean, well, I mean, it's from the movie, but the bumper sticker was, it was at a Comic-Con I got a couple years ago in Phoenix.
And that's pretty cool, man.
Yeah, it's great. Like, it's, so the X-Men themselves, especially Magneto, like, I have a Magneto t-shirt. I want to get Magneto's helmet, you know, but I like Professor, I love Professor X. Especially movie, comic one, 50-50. But movie one, TV show ones, definitely, you know, Kitty Pryde. Love, rock on, Kitty Pryde. She's amazing in comics, TV shows, you know, Iceman, everybody, you know, they're Wolverine, Cyclops, you know, Rogue. They're all really, really good moral icons that kind of get information.
Yeah, and honestly, Wolverine was one of the ones that I honestly, looked up to a lot too growing up, as one of my favorites, actually, not just because of his claws and the healing, all that stuff. Yeah. But no, like what you're talking about, the moral part, like, yeah, he's cocky, you know, and but everything, but at the same time, he's one of those where he's distant. He's think of like the Black Wolf and, you know, a pack of wolves. The Black Wolf is an outcast. Yeah. And that's basically what Wolverine is. Wolverine was an outcast, but the thing is, though, he made himself an outcast on purpose.
That's true.
You know, at the same time, he was one of those, what I learned from him was, from him is one of the terminologies of, you know, keep your friends close, but enemies closer.
Yeah.
Type thing. Wolverine worked alongside of some crazy people, especially in the animated series, too.
Oh, my God, yeah.
He had to suck it up a few times and work with his main arch enemy, who was Sabretooth.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Sabretooth.
But they worked together I remember watching a few episodes. One of them actually had Deadpool in it, though, too.
Yes. Oh, was this the, which one are you talking about? The, I mean, we'll start going through the animated now, but that's amazing. Oh, yeah. But before we get to that, that's amazing. Yeah, that is, I mean, that's a good Wolverine, man.
Yeah, Wolverine. That was my guy right there. And yes, I do actually kind of like Sabretooth. I don't know what it is. I think it might have been the animal instinct parts of them, because I don't know, because my spirit animal is a wolf as well, so.
Yeah. Oh, hey. That's, all right, that is pretty kick-ass, not going to lie.
Yeah.
All right, man. Going into this, so folks, we're starting out at the tippy top. Now, we should be able to say we covered everything and whatnot, but, you know, we could be here for a very long time if we cover each individual tiny thing.
We'll be here longer than the Titanic would run.
Oh, my God. We would turn into a show where...
That's a four-hour-long movie, brother.
Oh, my fucking God.
We would be here for at least, like, eight.
We could, folks. This episode was going to be X-Men in general, but then I, like, was thinking about it right beforehand. I'm like, fuck that. fuck that. That's too much. You can't. You just can't. Because that alone, I mean, us talking about what X-Men, I wanted to cover to you guys, the listeners, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. We wanted to say what the X-Men mean to us, to show you and to let you guys know, you know, we don't mess around. Like, some of these things I bring Victor on for, and all my other guests from Marvel, DC, all this other stuff, especially for comics and coffee, is we talk about things that we love. And I definitely want to make sure, like, you know, Brian Level from Marvel, he loves Daredevil. So we talked about Daredevil, which, make sure you check these episodes out, you know, and then we got the interviews on there for you too. But it's like, we're here to talk about what we love. And we're diving into at least half of the X-Men in what we have with them in the media. So starting out, 1992, man, that X-Men, did you watch that X-Men show, the first cartoon?
I did.
You did.
I actually did. I mean, I was obviously it was definitely like 4 or 5 years later, because I was born in 91, so.
Yeah, that's true.
Genetically, I couldn't watch that until, you know, later on, because I did watch it, though. I really did. I watched the X-Men animated series and all that stuff, period. It was, oh my God, the opening theme. I can't even get it out of my head.
Right? They all, that's one thing I think all the animated have. Is that they have some kick-ass opening themes.
Yeah.
You know,
like the original one we're talking about right now from, you know, that started October of 92. I'd say the opening of that one starts with like Cyclops and Storm kind of jumping off the title page and all that stuff. And I think the X-Men Evolution had a similar opening theme like that one too.
But, a little bit. Oh my God. Yeah. A little bit.
Oh my God. It was so awesome. Oh, man. I cannot. How can you not? That's how you know, folks. If you right now are listening, just think for 5 seconds. Can you picture it? Because if you can, you were definitely an X-Men kid, because you cannot forget that opening theme.
You can't. You seriously can't. Like, I personally can't talk that much about it. So, Victor, this is kind of on you, because I think I've only watched a couple episodes out of it. Like, my main jam were our next two. But when it comes to animated, like, those are the only two I've really watched in depth almost every episode on. I grew up with those. Like, but what can you say, man? What can you tell? What do you want to tell listeners about 92 X-Men?
Well, honestly, the one thing that I really loved about it was the fact of the graphics of it, for one. And, of course, the fact that it was definitely, I mean, I was able to fit it in because it was one of my Saturday morning, kind of like my Saturday morning cartoon type, you know, tradition. Where, you know, everybody was first meeting each other for the very first time when, you know, Hank and, you know, Beast and Scott, from Cyclops and Bobby the Iceman, you know, when they all first met, like Jean Grey and all that stuff for the very first time. Oh my God, it was so funny. I forgot what episode it was. It was one of the first couple episodes, you know, because they don't just throw everything in there, but it's like the whole jealousy thing between three guys hitting on one girl. Oh my God. Yeah. Like, for a kid's cartoon, like, come on, bro, that was amazing.
That's true. That whole concept.
You could definitely tell that this show was, yes, it was a cartoon, but it was for, like, the older kids, like the preteen, early teen kids, you know?
They all were at this point. Like, all the cartoons really were.
But the one thing that I loved about this, about the first one, was, like, it was starting everything out.
Yeah.
You know, it started everything, like, before Evolution and then, you know, so on and so forth. It was just, like, it was, you watched throughout the first original series, X-Men from 92, you just watched all these characters grow with each other and meet. You watch, you know, Iceman and freaking Cyclops pretty much duke it out. Like, they want to beat the crap out of each other.
Yeah.
Like, this is where it showed it a lot, but, you know, but at the same time, they stayed good friends. And exactly. this whole series, like the first 5 to 10 episodes, was just amazing.
So, like, a lot of it, man, I want to say, is because they really stuck to the comics on this one. And so much so that it helped fuel X-Men comics, and X-Men comics were number one selling in the 80s and 90s. And
right on point.
Yeah, and it really, I think this was the show, I think people have always attributed that the 92 X-Men cartoon show actually helped bring aboard, we're not going to talk about them just yet, but bring about the first X-Men movie.
The 92 series, though, was the base form of all the X-Men, period.
Yeah, oh yeah, with the movies.
Out of all the animated shows, or just any of the shows, period, it's the base.
Yeah.
Like, even your Daredevil show, just hypothetically speaking right now, just, you know, quickly right off the X-Men topic, just Marvel in general, like, the X-Men, pretty much, base.
Yeah, that's true. You are not wrong, because, I mean, they had the Spider-Man, they had everything else, but X-Men were so popular. They were Marvel's number one for the longest time. And then now look at it. It's like, fuck, what happened? But
you know what's the beauty of all these shows, though, buddy?
What?
Is the fact that, like, look at the X-Men 92. If you get some time in the future, though, yourself, like, go back, find a way to kind of watch a couple episodes of the 92 X-Men, and then watch a little bit of the Evolution. Oh, my God, dude, the big difference in the two was because they both had their flaws. There are some things about 92 that I didn't really like, but at the same time, it's just like everything. But the one thing that I loved was ending of 92 and beginning of Evolution was one thing that I really liked was the fact that Evolution started experiencing more of the crossovers, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Evolution did.
If I'm wrong, I'm open to correction.
I think there was a couple in a 92 one, because they had the other shows.
The Evolution, though, was more based on crossovers, because you saw more of, like, the Deadpool and Cable and Hulk and yada, 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 you know, versus 92, you saw a couple in there, but it's like, you know, because every world's got their own little personal space, you know, you got the Avengers with the Avengers, X-Men with the X-Men, but there was a crossover a couple times with those two, but we'll get to that part later.
Yeah, and I kind of want to go on to Evolution, man, because...
Bring it.
It's such a beautiful show. It's tough because I can't choose a favorite because Wolverine and the X-Men and X-Men Evolution.
My hands are tied too, bro. Wolverine, I gotta say though, is one of my top favorites. He is definitely top five in my book, but it's a battle.
It's like Wolverine and the X-Men was such a good show, but Evolution, yeah. I want to say, and you know what, shout out, because I did want to make sure I give him a shout out. Shout out to the network friend, Stephen Gordon, a character artist on the X-Men Evolution TV show, because they were awesome designed, like reimagining the character suits and everything like that. I mean, we've had him on the network, and you guys can check out an older episode of the Comic Chronicle podcast, where we interviewed him, actually. And it was such a blast, because we talked about it, too, is these new character suits they did for the show was amazing, and the show itself was so great, and it tackled so many issues. You know, just like a little bit, Wolverine X-Men did a little bit. Well, and Wolverine and the X-Men did. All the X-Men shows did, tackled issues and shit like that, like the X-Men do, and like we talked about in the beginning. But it's really insane to me of how good it was. It really was one of those. I remember, it was a WB Kids at one point.
Kids WB
was the fucking shit. I don't even care who you are, man. Like, that was my first.
Oh my God, sir, yes.
It was nuts. Like, I couldn't believe. A little bit of coffee there. Like, I couldn't. Kids WB, man. Like, before my Cartoon Network, that's what I really had was Kids WB, Static Shock, all that shit. But Justice League, can't forget about them. But moving on X-Men Evolution was so good. The storylines in it were amazing. The character designs were amazing. I love their suits. You know, they created characters just for the show, like Spike. Spike was he's not an X-Men comics guy. He was just made up for the show, which is crazy.
Spike was awesome. What? Right? Like, dude, like, you're able to generate these little, like, you're a walking porcupine that can launch your spikes, bro.
Yeah, and you know what? Him as a character himself, too, who he's basically a 2000s kid, you know, like, we were growing up being, and, you know, kind of that cool kid also we kind of wanted to be, too. And, you know, right. It's not really kid. It was kind of like, that was the kids of the time. You know, that's who we were, or we were trying to be, or something like that, along those lines, because Spike was that. Spike was created to be that, and he really was. And I loved it for it, you know. I loved Kitty in there.
Huh? Cocky attitude. Yeah. He always stood up for what he wanted, though.
Oh, God, yeah. And you know who did a good job in it? They did a good job of Rogue. Rogue herself, you know, with her power sets and everything is amazing.
Like, she's able to kind of borrow another person's power, but only for a certain period of time. Yeah. But it causes her a little bit of damage, but it also can kill the enemy if she wanted it to. If she was able to fully keep her hand, if I'm not mistaken on this too, if she was able to fully keep a grasp on somebody, she can kill them and permanently take their powers, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, like she's done it before.
Not just temporarily, but she could permanently take powers.
Yeah, she's too, taken some for a long, I don't think permanently, but taken some for a very, very long period of time.
Yeah, because she borrowed Wolverines, and I mean, quite a few others.
Borrowed everybody's, dude.
Everybody's.
And she's looked pretty kick-ass with some of them, not gonna like Archangel and shit. Fuck yeah. She's metal as shit. Pun intended. But, and I think X-Men, yeah, no, it took you a minute. X-Men Evolution really was, if you took the 92 to 97 X-Men show and you put it up, you updated the animation, you updated the character designs, love you, Steven, for it, and you put it in that 2000s range. You put it in early mid-2000s, and that's what you get. And then there's also the same for the next one on our list here, because Wolverine and the X-Men, holy fuck, this is the one I watched first. I grew up with this show. I remember watching it on the... Oh, it was a second Nickelodeon channel, I want to say.
Teen Nick?
No, it wasn't Teen Nick.
Nick at Night?
No, it was like its own channel. Like, it was its own channel when I had Comcast as a kid back in Illinois. It was its own Nick channel. It was like all this Teen Nick. It might have been Teen Nick's own channel or something like that if they had for a few years. Because it had Wolverine and the X-Men on it. It had
This Wolverine, Cyclops, Storm, Nightcrawler. It had Beast, Rogue, and then who was the other chick? She was something like some blonde chick.
Emma Frost. Oh, fuck yeah.
Emma Frost. Okay, Emma, that's who it was. Okay.
Emma Frost, that's right, man.
That's because Jean went off and did her own thing after this too, right?
She did. Jean,
Because Cyclops was with that, was Wolverine, though, too. Because him and Wolverine were still kind of feuding during that series, too.
Yes.
But at the same time, they were working together. But Cyclops wanted to do his own thing, though,
too. Well, the main overall storyline, this one had... The other ones had a little bit, like, their storyline a little bit, too, and whatnot. But it was kind of, like, new adventures every episode. And this Wolverine X-Men kind of was, too. But you had this main overall story thing. And that's what kind of got me to love storytelling with Wolverine and the X-Men. Because it showed me that. And I was a teenager when it was coming out, and it was my first X-Men TV show, because I loved the movies, and I grew up on the movies first, and then it went to cartoons, and then the comics, but, which was because you couldn't really get comics back then, but, because there was not that many stores, and I didn't know where to go, but Wolverine and the X-Men, man, was Days of Future Past. That's why Jean wasn't in that one. You're right, Jean was gone. Jean was gone. Like, no one had any fucking idea where she went until the end.
Would have had it longer than 26 episodes and longer than just one season, too. I seen what they did with it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was I don't know why. Nobody knows why that canceled.
It was a filler season is what it was. It was something to fill you in on what was going on and why, to show you why things are going to happen later in the future with the other episodes that came out after 09.
For which one? Wait, what?
For the X-Men, Wolverine and the X-Men.
Yeah, Wolverine and the X-Men was its own show, remember?
Yeah, but it was also like a filler, though, too.
I don't know. No, Wolverine and the X-Men was made to be, was because they wanted to keep the X-Men cartoons going. I don't think there is one right now. Fucking shame. But, we'll start our own. But, going in, you're kidding, because animation, I've learned, is taking a long fucking time. But,
yeah.
Oh my god. Shout out to artists. We love you all for this. Holy shit. But moving in is, it was made to be its own show, and it was made to be different from the other things, and they wanted to take Days of Future Past and make it its own storyline. So it was that, and the Sentinels in it. Like, I learned as a teenager, I was growing up learning, I'm like, Sentinels are fucking evil things. Oh my god. Because you saw the dark future and like everyone's dead in it. It's like but Wolverine and a couple of the others. Professor X is the one who goes to the future. Like, X-Men Evolution, there's so many fun storylines you can talk about. There's so fucking many. But Wolverine X-Men had that overall general story. It covered good social issues. It fucking gave us some excellent versions of the characters. Like Emma Frost, Cyclops, Wolverine himself,
Beast. You've seen sides of these characters that you normally didn't. You normally wouldn't have expected either, you know?
No, you wouldn't. I mean, I love
they
Kitty
kept
and
their original. They kept their original characteristics, but, I mean, at the same time, holy crap, the super twists.
Yeah, oh god, fuck yeah. You know, it was really just, shout out to Dunkin' Donuts for this coffee, because it's really getting me through, because, yeah, sponsor, hopefully, but, and it's,
I was about to say, man, what was your whole overall favorite part of Wolverine and the X-Men, though? There's gotta be a favorite part somewhere in there between those episodes. Come on, tell the fans, bro, come on.
You know, that's like trying to choose your favorite girl that you fucked in your past. I can't fucking do it.
Holy darkness.
Oh, my God. You can't be like, who was your favorite lover? Huh.
I've had better.
No, yeah, I mean, we've only, yeah. But it's like trying to choose my favorite part of Wolverine and the X-Men is such a difficult question. Because,
okay, not your favorite, but what was the most interesting one then? Did I get another stumper?
No, it's not really stump, because there's just so many different things that you like about it. Like, there's just so much. It's like when we get to the movies, holy shit. But when we get to but Wolverine X-Men was, I love the character designs. I love the animation. I want to say story.
Okay.
Because the story was intense. It got intense. Like, you went to the future, and you're like, fucking everyone's dead.
It had you crying, and then it had you going, what the hell? And then I had you like, what the fuck? And then, holy shit. And
Yeah.
I can feel you, bro.
Magneto was a badass in that one, too, and they did his character. They did all the characters just. All of them. Nightcrawler. Everybody had their own little thing going on. Oh, Polaris.
Now you see, folks, this is the reason why that these shows are amazing, because, and I will stand my ground on this, every single X-Men comic, movie, animated TV series, just every voice actor has just played these characters to the T.
Yeah.
Like you just said, Magneto, Professor X, Wolverine, Cyclops, Storm, Nightcrawler, Emma Frost, Beast, Rogue, all these characters are just, they all literally stay the same. Unlike most shows, where you'll see the same character, but like, who the hell, you didn't know it was him because they changed him up. No, these characters here in the X-Men, all the same, period. And that's what I think I love about it. Like, it just, everything is just done so perfectly. I honestly have not found one flaw when it comes to actual characters.
No, all these people who play in the different shows and the movies, well, like, yeah, and everything.
Absolutely, it's actor, right, voice actor, all of it. Yeah. Shout out to Hugh Jackman. Thank you so much for playing Wolverine, by the way.
Yeah, fucking name. A shout out to everybody. Everybody who's worked on these. Right. Between acting, production, everybody. Hey there, folks. This is your host, Dakota Morgan, coming right back at you. And I hope you're not tuning out just yet, because you can be part of the Comic Chronicle podcast. That's right. You can come on the show. Well, how do you do such a thing? Well, folks, that is in when we hit our $100 mark on our brand new Patreon page. That's right. We have our own little Patreon page for the Comic Chronicle podcast, where if you donate $1 to $10 a month, tier 1, $1, tier 2, $5, tier 3, that is $10. Now, if we make a $100 mark, then definitely I choose a listener like yourself and bring them on for a comics and coffee talk show. Now, we talk about whatever the listener you may want to know, whichever you want to talk about, folks. It's all up to you. Now, and of course, with each tier, you get fun exclusive prizes. You get your name on the show as well for some of them. You get your own little you as a hero on a Comic Chronicle exclusive comic book cover, online only. And, you know, a lot more other prizes. You know, the Wall of Heroes as well. You get your name on the monthly social media post of the Wall of Heroes, with the $5 and $10 tiers on there only. But your name is on there, the $5 Speedsters and the $10 Vigilantes. Them guys get on there once a month. Big shout out to you guys on the FanCorp social media page. So, folks, if you want to be a part of such a thing, go ahead, go to patreon.com/comicchronicle. That's patreon.com/comicchronicle. And I hope to talk to you on the show very soon. Everybody deserves a shout out.
Thank you for all that you have done.
Exactly.
Honestly.
Thank
you. I hope you guys live awesome lives, and yeah, just don't stop.
Yeah, right. You're like, you know, like Stephen Gordon, I know I can thank you personally, and I have in the past, but thank you again. And you know, that everybody, like, you know, these people, everyone who's worked on anything in these X-Men that have helped create such a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. And have made, like I said, I started with the movies first. And in the cartoons, and then the comics, like, just a few years ago. So, it's really, it's insanity, because without X-Men, I don't know where. Like, Superman's a big thing in my life, so is the fucking X-Men, man. They really, really are, like.
These characters alone, and, you know, the people who created them, seriously gave people like you and me something to look forward to, something to shoot for, you know?
Yeah, you know what?
Like what I said, you know, if it wasn't for, you know, me knowing who Stan Lee was, I don't know if I would have even gotten into writing.
Exactly. Well,
no, if I wouldn't know who Jack Kirby was, I probably wouldn't have done it either. You
know? Shout out to them too, man. Shout out to Lee
Stephen
and Kirby.
Or Stephen Gordon, or Doug Murphy, or, yes, you know, Boyd Kirkland. Like, for real, like, seriously. And then who? There was one more, God forgive me. His last name, oh yeah, Nicholas Felipe. Hmm. Felipe. Nicholas Felipe, one of the other directors as well of the X-Men, of Wolverine and the X-Men. You know, just thank you. Like, seriously, all of you guys gave me a reason to write, you know?
Fuck yeah, man. Fuck yeah. Because, see? Folks, inspiration.
Imagination has come to life because of these people, you know?
Yeah.
All these great X-Men series and just the characters' profiles and everything.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. It's insane. It truly, like, I say it's insane a lot, but it truly is here because, Victor, you've been made because of the X-Men. I've been made because of the X-Men. They help form. And you know what? You can fucking relate to any one of these characters in the sense here.
Mm-hmm.
Almost, except for the evil.
Extent, you know?
Except evil ones. There's some that you just say, fuck those guys. Like,
yeah,
there's,
course,
like, Mr. Sinister, fuck him, he's a dick. You know, the, right, Sentinels, fuck them. But absolutely, fuck Stryker, because fuck Stryker.
Stryker is
fuck Stryker. I hate him so much. I hate him so fucking much. There's just, like, oh, Like, I, you know what, though? I love him in the movies. Because we'll get in the movies now. Because,
yeah.
But you know what, though? Before we, any final words on Wolverine and X-Men for you, though?
Oh, man. I think we covered, honestly, everything. Just to, especially that big old thank you, honestly. I was just, oh, my God. I'm going to actually go back on YouTube and find it, see if I can find a couple episodes.
Right? Oh, my God. I got a few of DVDs from Zia. It's like a records and old DVD and collector store and stuff like that. They got a few of them. It's like you turn, it's kind of like a nerd Goodwill almost. And it's like,
I wish I had one of those out here in Spokane. The best thing I got is I got a comic book store that doesn't even hardly sell any comics.
I'd say try Amazon, Hulu, and shit like that, because I heard they were putting on something, but give it a check, man. I don't know. It's good. It's good for a good Google. And it's really, in the intro, I want to say too, I knew from the moment I've watched the intro, it was going to be really cool, and especially as a teenager, because in that intro, like, they got Sentinels walking around, the mutant police and shit like that, putting people in, and masks and shit like that.
My brother's got a couple of our old audio X-Men audio tapes, and he's got my old Wolverine and the X-Men poster that I actually have a Wolverine and the X-Men poster. Like an actual poster. It's an original poster. It's got Wolverine right in the front in his classic, the classic yellow-black uniform.
Yep.
It's got Cyclops off to the left-hand side wearing kind of like a trench coat with a black underneath, with the kind of like a beanie cap with the glasses. Storm next to him. Nightcrawler in his red and black outfit with a symbol in the middle of his chest. And then it's got even got Emma Frost right there.
Badass
woman. Beast and Rogue. I think it's Rogue. That's right there.
Yeah, I think it's Rogue. It's Rogue. I know, Kitty. I think.
No.
Is it Kitty?
It's Kitty, yeah.
Yeah, fucking yeah.
It's
love
not
Kitty.
Rogue. It's not Rogue. No, just not remembered. Yeah, no, she wasn't part of that, I don't think, at all.
Love Kitty, man. Like, I see myself in Kitty. It's recently in comics. We'll get to, when we talk about the comics, especially.
Folks, you will get more detail, I promise.
Oh, fuck yeah. Kitty Pryde in the comics. Fuck yeah. And, you know, Gal from Chicago, like, when there's a mutant and shit like that. Fuck yeah. But, hey, you know what? 16 years living in Illinois, man. I know they're not there. Come on. Shout out to you,
I just remembered, though, X-Men Wolverine. It was on Nicktoons, is what it was called.
That was the channel. Fuck.
That was the channel.
That was a Marvel fucking
channel. It came to me. Nicktoons Network. And the original release date was, oh, my God. No, either January or November or something like that.
Don't tell me the year, because you're going to make me feel so fucking old.
09?
Okay, that's not too bad.
No, that's just about 9 years ago, bro. It's okay. You're not that old. I'm older than you.
Fuck, I know. And I know what, you know what, though? Because I heard a saying, and it made me, like, get gray hairs for a moment, because I'm like...
Bro, you're only 21, right?
Fuck, yeah. And you know what?
I'm 27, bro. I only got 6 years on you, bro. That's it.
I feel like
that's
I'm really not
that much. We're still the same generation, honestly. That's you're part true. Of my gen. You're that's the last true. Of my generation.
Yeah, you're not wrong, actually.
You're the last of the common sense. I mean, common sense.
Damn, I vote to say no. The generation before me was probably that, but because I
no,
you
know. we're the last living, bro. We're the last living.
True.
Let's spread this good news, bro. What else do I got? You said we're covering the movies now, right? Which movie you want to cover, man? What was one of your tops?
Well, I know we could spend another 2 hours just covering the movies. So I want to cover by section. So let's do X-Men through X-Men Origins Wolverine. Because that little section. Because there is... That's, I think, kind of nice part about this. Is this, the movies are almost generational.
Almost, yeah.
Like, they have... Like, they're all connected, which is amazing, really.
Right.
And that they have... Well, I'd say connected, but then they really... Days of Future Past and shit. Well, we'll start with the ones that are based... the not the prequels, but the... X-Men 1, 2, 3, which was retconned. And then X-Men Origins Wolverine.
That's dope, man. Like, especially like in the beginning of the first X-Men, where he first ever meets Rogue without knowing she's Rogue.
Yeah. Oh, got it. You know what?
He saves her from Sabretooth.
Yes. You know what's... So out of those, it's how do I want to put this? Because I know I'm going to piss off so many people.
Hey, it's going to happen, bro. So we just got to deal with it.
That's true. True that. So I'm wondering.
Sorry, guys, if you get mad.
Yeah, right. These are, we should say in the beginning. These are, we should have said actually fucking spoiler alert in the beginning. Fuck. Shit. Well, too late.
Man, but this is all spoiler alerts, folks, man. Where have you been?
That is true. Oh, you listen to the comics and coffee, let alone the Comic Chronicle podcast. Fuck.
No kidding.
Yeah, really.
So, So from 1 through 3, buddy. Like,
well, 1 through 4.
What do you think about the layout of those first three?
For the first three, not including Wolverine.
Not including Wolverines yet. We'll get there soon. Shortly. Okay.
Oh yeah, because we yeah. I want to hear your take. So I want to say 1 through 3. 1 through 3 is what I grew up on.
What was one of your best like layouts? Like, you know, like how do you? What do you think about the way that the directors and producers, you know, put it all together the way they did?
Oh, I loved it. I absolutely loved it. I want to say, growing up before some of the newer ones came out recently, like the prequels. Before prequels, X-Men 2 was the best X-Men movie.
Thank you. I'm so glad I'm not alone on that one. I think the same thing. I think that number 2 was the best.
Yeah.
Like, from best to worst, honestly, no offense, it went 2, 1, then 3.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely.
That was my order right there. 2, 1, then 3.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's really, I don't even want to put this. It's really just the way 2 was it hit the spots that made, I mean, don't get me wrong, X1, the first X-Men movie, fucking masterpiece.
Oh, yeah, fucking they all were.
And just, you know, in what? A certain order. I think when I mentioned Magneto before, that was the Ian McKellen Magneto that helped shape me. That was all these ones that helped shape me in the movies and shit like that in the beginning was these movies, was the first three.
And, oh, dude, Ian McKellen played one hell of a Magneto.
Man. Oh, my God. Michael Fassbender has been the only dude to fucking do it, because for live action at least, because I don't know who's going to take up the role after those two for younger and older one. I don't know. But here's the thing, man. Magneto, like when I saw, like, I watched X2 a lot, and I watched X-Men a lot. I watched with my mom. Shout out to you, Christina. Is basically, because she loves Rogue, too. She got me hooked on the X-Men growing up. And really fucking did with the movies. And fucking good X-Men. Mom. I mean, the X-Men good are awesome. The X-Men are truly awesome. And Magneto himself was from these movies. I watched X2 a lot, X1 a lot. Now, 3, I watched a little bit more. I remember going to the theaters and seeing them, too.
Oh, dude, I ran 2 and 1 off the tapes.
Fuck. Did I see X2 in theaters? No, I saw X3 in theaters. I liked X3. It was fun in theaters and shit like that. But I grew up and realized they had more potential. Kind of like Apocalypse. But before we get there, is the story I want to tell is an interesting one. Because I was in 3rd grade. Oh, no. It was the end of 4th grade. And we had a kid named, I'm not gonna give him a name, but we had a African American kid. He was picked on by other kids who were white, and picked on, and I kept seeing it, and you know, and I'm like, this ain't right. I could do something and whatnot. And then they started calling. I am not even shitting you. They started calling him the N-word.
Wow, dude.
4th fucking grade.
No offense. My attitude back in my days, if I was around that, I would have snapped on them, and somebody would have had a broken mouth.
Here's the thing.
Uh-oh.
Because I thought, when I started hearing that, and I started seeing what it was, and the prejudice and everything like that, I instinctively went to, I saw Ian McKellen, I saw Magneto, and I remembered the messages and shit like that. And basically, like, Charles, yeah, I love Charles in the movies, don't get me wrong, Xavier, right. But I saw Magneto basically saying, you gotta stand up. You gotta fight. You know, like, sometimes talking works. Sometimes the peaceful way works. But sometimes you have to stand up and you have to fight. And so I went up to the kids, pushed them down, and just beat them a little bit. And after, I said, you don't dare call them any of that. We're all different, but we're all equal. And then, like, they quit messing with them after that shit. And, like, it's all, like, in my head. It was like, Ian McKellen was like, yes. And I was like, yes.
You're right. I mean, because you got to think, man, Professor X and Xavier, they grew up together, and they grew up back in the times.
You mean Professor X and Magneto?
That's what I meant. Sorry.
Okay, yeah, I was like, wait a minute here.
No, that's what I meant. Sorry, guys. I had a bit of a brain fart. But, yeah, no, that's what I meant. Those two characters alone are literally two halves of one coin.
Yeah.
They're two opposites, pretty much. You know, you got Xavier, who's the, God, please don't criticize me for wording it this way.
It's Martin. Xavier's Martin Luther King. I don't want you to butcher that, because we'll get fucked up.
he's got the really, really, really big heart.
Yes.
And just wants to help everybody. But then there's Magneto, who, he does have a heart. You actually see it a few times, him actually come out and like, oh, God, this is bad.
Yeah.
But, you know, but at the same time, though, his heart has a hard shell around it because of all the crap that he's put up with.
Exactly. Well,
so, you know, in that situation, you know, you were put in pretty much rocking a hard place, so you did do the right thing, but at the same time, two wrongs don't make a right.
It's true. As well. Oh, God, it's true, and I've learned to do both.
There's so many messages in the X-Men. Like, it's unreal what these cartoons can actually teach kids these days.
Cartoons,
if they would actually
movies.
Pay attention to what they're saying.
Yes. Preach it, brother, because 100%. 100%. And I got scared for a moment there because I thought you were going to butcher Martin Luther King Jr.'s name. And I'm like, oh, fuck.
No.
I was like, oh, fuck.
That man stood up. Honestly, that man stood up for a lot of good reasons.
It's
and
true.
I respect that man for a lot. And I've had a bad history before. No, none of it was racism. But I did, because of stereotypes as well, I did have issues, but I do know right from wrong, folks, and I'm not that kind of person at all.
Yeah.
I stand up. I would have done the same thing Dakota did, if not, probably worse, no offense. I probably would have not stopped. I would have turned into Wolverine and fucking killed the guy.
That's why I can't have powers, man. But
I do have one history where I did let my temper go into animal mode and got me expelled from school one time, and I'll never do it again.
I had an
animal instinct kick in. It was not a good thing. I'm not taking pride in it at all. It was wrong.
Yeah.
I was way, way wrong in that one.
But you know, like he does too, like you know and whatnot.
Yeah. And I learned my lesson, and you know what? The thing is though too, I didn't understand the full meaning anyways, because you know, Wolverine, yeah, he's an animal, but at the same time he has a heart.
Exactly. And that's what I like about these characters. Yeah. And that's why I was saying of Martin Luther King Jr. is because that's why, shout out to you, Stanley, Jack Kirby. Thank you guys for creating these guys. And because they, especially shout out to the Stan, but rest in peace, is Martin Luther King Jr. is the basis of Professor Xavier. Malcolm X is the basis for Magneto. Like, that's what Stan was doing back in the day. He based Magneto and Xavier off those characters. Because the reason why, and I guess we could talk about this now because it suits it. Well, 100% suits it, actually. But the reason why the X-Men were created was to show how fucking stupid racism is. To show how stupid it is. To show how stupid it is to... Not even just racism.
There should be no racism. We're all equal.
Exactly. And not just racism. Criticism of any kind.
Thank you.
You know, and that's what I love about... That's why I love J. Miles Explain X-Men, because, you know, they're like... They show that... They always talk about this message of what the X-Men are. As like, it's... Yeah, people are like, oh, it's against racism. No, it's against all criticism.
You know? Yeah, it's against criticism in general, all of it.
Yeah, just
racism,
stupid.
All of verbal, skin color, everything. Yep. It covers it all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where it shows that everybody, yes, we all have separate, different talents and abilities, but I can use those to help you unlock yours, for you to use yours to help me, for us to help others.
Yep.
It's based on a whole chain reaction thing, that what Charles Xavier is trying to do, you know, get these people together to show the world, like, hey, yes, we have these abilities, but we want to use them to help you.
Exactly. And they show these, and that's why I loved when these movies came out, because it really, like, you know, the cartoons, you're going to miss a lot of people. Alrighty, folks, don't you dare just go yet, because I have with me a special guest. Now, do you have some landscaping problems? Do you have something that, you know, you need some help with in the good old-fashioned outdoors? Well, I have with me here today a very special guest. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
My name's Jesse Ewing. I'm the owner of Ewing Land Management, LLC.
That's right, folks. Right now, this can be considered a sponsor. Jesse here is a sponsor of us. Ewing Land Management is a sponsor of the Comic Chronicle podcast. And, you know, we wanted to bring him on here today because, you know, people need help. And Jesse needs work as well. So it's all, those two and two, they work together sort of thing. Today, folks, and Jesse, kind of give a backstory. What is Ewing Land Management?
Ewing Land Management is a young and growing company. We specialize in basically everything to do with tree care. Removal, pruning, planting, pest diagnosis, hazard diagnosis, and mitigation, and some general landscaping services like FireWise, you know, thinning brush for fire safety and things of that nature too.
So things that people desperately need. So that's what you do now. You've been doing this for how long?
Just about 20 years.
About 20 years. So this to say, folks, he's experienced. He's very experienced. Now, where exactly do you operate?
We operate out of Payson, Arizona. We operate in basically the greater Arizona, the whole state. We also operate in New Mexico and parts of California.
All right. So folks in those areas, give Jesse a call. Now, where can they contact you at, Jesse?
You can contact us at 928-363-1893. You can contact us through our website, which is www.ewinglandmanagement.com. You can also contact us through our Facebook page at Ewing Land Management LLC.
And folks, that's where you can find Jesse at today. And make sure you guys give him a contact. You hit him up, go whatever. You can also check out the website as well. Be sure to check out that website, ewinglandmanagement.com, because you guys can see all of his work that he's done so far. You can see how they operate, equipment, and everything else as such. So folks, make sure you go check him out. Now, back to the show. This is how it goes. But when you get these big budget movies, and you get shit like this, and then you get, and they keep going, and they keep going, and they keep going. You know, the X-Men are always going to show this. They're always going to do this. And it's really, and to show that, you know what, yeah, you may be different. Like, yeah, we're mutants, but there's mutants around. We all are. Like, I'm a mutant, fucking Victor's a mutant here, you know. The people we've had on this podcast, every single one of us, we're a mutant, you know, because we're different from society, especially for what we strive towards and everything else. You know, we're the different ones that the ones criticize on. So we know it. You know, we're all for our own thing, whether or not you're gay, you're bi, you're different skin color, whatever.
Dude, I get criticized for my felony. You could type my name in on Google, my full name, and I'm right there.
Yeah, so it's like, why?
With all my everything. Yeah. Like I deal with criticism every day.
It's like, why, you know, even bother? So why even bother try to be mean or anything like that? And that's what these movies were able to do. The first three especially. And, you know, the prequel ones, I want to say we're more to the comics, but, you know, they really got those messages in these three. So that's, we digress, because this conversation especially suits us for the comics.
Right. Majorly for comics. You know what's also though great though too, which shows right from wrong, is if you want to jump into the Wolverine origins of what he had to go through and the decision he had to make in that one particular scene. If you know what scene I'm trying to think about.
Well, we got the Wolverine Origins, and then we got the... There was the one I forgot totally about because I didn't really like it as much, was the Wolverine.
Oh, yeah, that one was actually ridiculous, actually. Yeah. I mean, they kind of showed a side of Wolverine that kind of just wasn't anywhere where I could even make sense of anything. No offense, but I was talking about Origins Wolverine, though. The X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Yeah, we'll cover this one first. And X-Men Origins Wolverine was... I watched it. You know what? Yeah, Deadpool. But
do you know what scene I'm talking about though? Well, it's part of the topic we're on actually. It's a good topic on for it. It was the scene where they first go into that village and he finds out and he sees what everybody's doing.
Yeah.
And he stops Victor, aka Sabretooth.
Yeah.
From doing a certain thing, and then he ends up leaving everybody there.
Oh, yeah, because they wanted to kill everybody there, and they were going to kill people for the Animanium and shit like that, because that was...
Exactly.
I can spoil it. Fuck it. The people know. So
Wolverine could have had a chance to let his greed get in the way.
Exactly. And
but he made a really good decision on what he did, though, too, to just leave it all behind.
Think about the ending, too. Think about that. He freed all the other mutants.
But the thing is, though, too, he freed all those other mutants, but at the same time, though, too, what had happened to him, what the message was, if you see it, was that you can't always run from your problems. You have to face them head on and deal with it so you know what's done with right then and there.
Exactly.
You see how many years, I don't know, I can't depict or remember how many years have flown by from the beginning all the way up until where the, you know, guy who gave him the adamantium into his body found him again. That was the message. He ran from his problem without solving it right there and ended up coming to bite him back in the ass a few times before he finally solved it.
It is another movie that proves William Stryker is a bitch. But...
Oh, God, Stryker, man. Stryker's bad.
But you know what, though? Here's the thing. Is that shows how good villains are in X-Men. Like, we got Omega Red. We got Magneto. Well, Magneto's good. But good and bad. But we got Apocalypse. We got Stryker. We got Sabretooth. We got so many. We got, oh. You know, we got ones. We got, like, the Mojo for, oh. There's so many. The comics have so many good villains in there that have not seen the light of day. And I it's a crime. A crime, I say. A crime against all mutant kind. Because they really do such good things. And that movie, you know what? There's good and there's bad about it in the Wolverine. X-Men Wolverine. It really is. I mean, yeah. yeah, there's some things, and it doesn't, and that's one movie though that if you watch it, it doesn't fucking matter because it doesn't really tie anything into anything except, except with the new prequels. I mean, I guess that change it, but it used to tie
it
into the.
It just shows you how Wolverine got the Animantium. That's all that really is. And that's basically all I see. It's
and he loses he memory. He got, can't forget that, but.
Yeah, oh, that's right. That's right. Put the Animantium bolt in the back of his head. That's right.
And it's briefly covered because we got to cover the Wolverine. We did a little bit. I just want to say, not a fan. Not a fan. And the samurai stuff, the Japanese culture stuff, you know, that's been a part of Wolverine. Wolverine did some stuff with that back in the day. Not as much as
enough. Not enough to really make a movie out of it, though. Right? Honestly,
right? It just
They could have just made like, you know, just a basic comic book or something, and that could have been just fine with me.
Yeah, could have been. They could have been. I mean, but so that's one of the negative things is that we do have the bad ones. And, you know, but like we've always mentioned, I've mentioned it before, there's good and there's bad and everything. And so, you know, you're not going to hit them all out of the park with all the movies. The next one, though, the next one is Logan.
Oh, man. Here we go. There's where the emotions pour in.
You got to cover it. I mean, before we get to the prequels.
You're right.
Because this is basically the end of the. Really, I think it's the end of the trilogy, the OG, I like to call it the OG X-Men movies. It's really the ending because they tie it all into that. And yeah, the prequels tie in with Days of Future Past and shit, but, you know, that's what kind of really was. And it was like the end, it really, truly was the end of it. I rewatched it the other day, my grandma's never seen it before, and I'm like, you're gonna, like, she was in the living room, and shout out to you, Rita, is because... Crazy because she's like, I've never seen, I don't want to watch an X-Men movie. I'm like, sit down, watch it. It's not what you think. Watch it. And she watches The Gifted with me.
Yeah.
So, which reminds me, we got shows to cover. Fuck. But is Logan is so different. It's such an emotional heartthread. It covers so many great messages that if we could spend an entire episode on Logan, which we might do because.
Honestly, I encourage it. We should.
Yeah, because there's so much good things in Logan about father-daughter relationships, you know, so much about family, so much about being different, but also trying to start a new future and, you know, using the pains, the suffering of the past to move to a brighter future, which I recommend to people all the fucking time. All right, tell everybody all the time to use the pain, like, yeah, life fucking sucks. But this is an origin. Use it as an origin story and start a new future from it. And, you know, like with X-22. Holy shit. Fucking Lorna. Oh, my God. She was amazing in that film. They brought her to life. She was in that Wolverine and the X-Men for a little bit, for a couple of the future scenes in there. She was, like, killing Sentinels with clones her and shit like that. And we'll talk about her in the comics, too, because she's got the Honey Badger, like her younger sister and younger sister clone thing, character. She's badass. And, it's really just, Logan is just a heartthrob thing, man. I want to say it was an epic installment to it and an epic finale for Hugh Jackman. Victor, take it away.
Dude, oh my God, Logan was just, I saw so many like mixed feelings inside of Wolverine's eyes and just his personality and his characters in that movie. Like, especially when he glances at, you know, X-22. Whew. Or 23?
Like 23, yeah, not 23.
23. There you go. Yeah, when he was glancing every time, because he started noticing the same traits inside of her that he has inside of himself. You know, he's like, you know, you could tell at first it's kind of a joke. He's like, did something happen that I can't remember?
Yeah.
But then of course he figures it out, obviously. But, you know, it was just a funny thing for a second. Exactly. You know, but you start seeing a different side of him though. Yeah. Like you start seeing like a protective parent come out.
Yeah, oh yeah. And you've seen glimpses of in the past, especially with Rogue and everything like that. But I mean in this one it's based off old man Logan.
And yeah, he's looking at like a little miniature version of himself, though. Not like
exactly.
Like, I get what you're saying with like the Rogue thing, but like this is totally like a whole different ballfield.
It's true.
Like it's this true. Is like he's looking at her like a daughter.
Yeah, and I mean, yes, she's
Rogue
the future.
Was, like, a daughter, but
she's the future because everyone's dead because the mutants aren't being born anymore. Because fuck that, fucking Stryker yet again. Yeah. And fucking Stryker, and you know, and being to do the. I'm just thinking about that ending scene because it makes me ball. And really everyone's dead. Like, that's why it's based somewhat based off Old Man Logan. It's in the future. Not many mutants, really. No one being born. You know, it's... We're gonna take an episode on this one. All I gotta say is, man, that final fucking scene where this cross is turned to an X, I'm like, you brilliant motherfuckers.
That was brilliant, dude. That was it.
I mean, makes me prove, too, that, like, when I die, if I get Tombstone, whatever may happen, want there to be a Superman logo, and I want there to be an X.
Nice.
Like, that's what I want. I don't care how much it costs. Put my name, put that, whatever you want to say.
By the time that comes, man, we'll put out a couple good TV series and a few good movies enough to where you'll be able to afford a thousand of those.
Dude, it's going to be a fucking, like, Pacific Rim 2 with the hologram portrait of me, most likely.
Holy shit. Yeah, how about just a hologram of me just dancing? How's that?
Oh, God. We know the future, folks. We know it. But, fuck. All right, moving on, man, because we got to keep moving. So, moving on this, and so the prequels. The prequels, we'll kind of go through the prequels a little bit more faster. But the prequels, because emotional heart throughout the fucking Logan. But the prequels themselves, I say they're prequels, but the modern X movies we have going on. X-Men First Class, Days of Future Past, I freaked the fuck out when I heard that was going to be the next movie when that was coming out. Because, to me, Wolverine and the X-Men, I'm like, oh my god. They're turning it into a movie, and the Sentinels look badass. You know, especially the older ones when they were purple, like they're OG Sentinels in the movie. Badass motherfuckers. Oh,
dude, right? I'm so glad they actually did that when I saw it. When I actually saw that, all I saw was just my TV turned into a comic book. That was it.
Right? Oh, my God. Yeah, and you had all, like,
total freeze frame, and then zoom
Bishop.
Out.
Bishop was in there. You know, they had so many X-Men characters in there. It was ridiculous. It was crazy. And I saw the one, actually, where it was Rogue that they rescued, and it wasn't Kitty who was sending her back. Amazing, by the way. Wish they would have kept it. But I do love Kitty. I mean, Ellen Page, or I believe who's the girl who played Kitty. She was one of my Hollywood crushes growing up.
Yeah.
That was fun. But, but and so she was from the first and the OG ones, but... Moving in, and so the prequels themselves, I mean, Days of Future Past, First Class, amazing. I love what they did with Magneto. Huh?
Oh, I was just saying that, like, First Class was just freaking off the chain, dude. Like, total freaking awesome, dude.
Right, it was the X-Men origin.
Like, a younger Magneto, younger Xavier.
Yeah. The formation of the team, like, you know, and they like some of the original, like, they still had Summers in there. They had Havoc, they had Mystique, Beast, all that shit. That was dope. They had Angel in there. Oh my god, Kevin Bacon was in there. Amazing, Azazel, amazing, and you know, and keeping these characters going. The Days of Future Past, amazing, you know. And then we had Apocalypse recently, and then we're coming out with the final installment of X-Men Dark Phoenix, which is the retelling of kind of like an X-Men 3 with Jean and whatnot.
Oh, wait, there's a newer one coming out?
The fuck have you been, yeah. Next year.
I don't know where the hell I've been.
It's based off Jean Grey going nuts with the Phoenix Force, based in the 80s. So it's going to be just like the classic comic book where she died. It's going to be like that, but they're bringing it to the big action live screen.
Dude, that is going to be dope. I did not hear about that. Oh, God, I don't have live TV or nothing. I don't watch cable anymore. I have my Netflix, Hulu, all the...
Well, I mean, stuff. The YouTube, the trailer came out a couple months ago, or a few months ago as of this recording. So, I mean, and so they're doing reshoots now, and I think it comes out April or May. It got pushed back. I don't know. And then we got the New Mutants movie coming out, starring Sophie Turner from Game of Thrones as Jean Grey. Brilliant. The kid who played the main character in Ready Player One, I can't remember his name at the moment. But he plays Cyclops, brilliant. The casting in these ones, brilliant. The Apocalypse was the only one, man. I don't want to get your opinion on these after, but Apocalypse was the only one where I'm like, listen, you had Angel in there. You turned him to Archangel. I get it. After Days of Future Past, you kind of reset everything. So it's different. You're doing new shit. And, you know, you got this perfect cast of shit. Apocalypse was cool, despite not having the lips. But you didn't use the characters to their full potential, like Psylocke and shit like that. There were so many Kalibak was in there, and like it wasn't Logan, but there was potential that was wasted in Apocalypse. Like there were so many characters in there, but they didn't really do what they could have done. Like Warren, they didn't really go into backstory. Some of them was like, what the fuck? That was my complaint about Apocalypse. Other than that, I thought it was good. And then Dark Phoenix is going to be fucking amazing because Jean Grey I relate to too, of like mental shit. We've all got it, but you know, I went through some dark times and shit like that, and Jean Grey kind of helped me out with that. And so like when she
she was bullied a lot though too.
Join the club in that my younger years, but
yeah.
So that's emotional shit I won't get into, but say the very least because it would be another hour. But and so. Those, like, these ones, that the recent X-Men series that we have going on here, the younger versions of everything, and I like how it actually did, the 80s, I believe it's 80s or 90s, is it 90s at the new one, Dark Phoenix? Yeah, because Apocalypse is the 80s, and it's 90s for X-Men Dark Phoenix, so when X-Men Dark Phoenix comes out, it's going to be based on the 90s, like the book, so it's going to be exactly like the book. I think I have somewhere.
I hope they get it close enough to the book, because, I mean, a lot of the Hollywood, you know, I mean, they kind of like to put the twist on stuff, but so hopefully they stick to it. And
I mean, it looks good.
You've encouraged me. I'm going to, seriously, I can't believe I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, they
I
got really, the
horror. I'm in all these X-Men and, you know, Avengers and just Marvel fan groups, and I'm like, I did not see one post about it. Like,
no
not
news.
One person has said anything about it. I'm like, are you, now that you've said it and it's already been out, the trailer's already been out, I'm like, where the hell, I'm going to rip into somebody here.
There's a poster, too, for man. Check it out. It's fucking dope. And you know what? Sophie Turner. But what do you think, man? So what do you think of these? I mean, we got, before I go any further, we got to mention that the New Mutants, based off the comic book series and the New Mutants team, is going to be like a horror movie meets X-Men sort of thing coming out. That's coming out next year, I believe, as well, in 2019, I want to say. I think it got pushed back to 2020, I think.
Good. I like to hear stuff like that. No, and I can tell you why. It's because, you know, the longer they take with these kind of films, the better it's going to be.
Yeah, oh, fuck.
These are the kind of films you can't rush on. You can't.
No.
You cannot. You have to. If it takes you 5 years, it takes you 5 years. I'm sorry.
Right.
The fans have to wait. You fans want to be, if you're a true fan, you would wait patiently.
Yes.
As bad, as antsy as, you know, you get your fingers just tapping away, like, come on.
Mm-hmm.
No, folks. Good movies come with time.
Exactly.
Like,
and
it's like cooking a good meal, okay? The longer it takes, the better it's going to taste.
And it also means that maybe... I mean, I would love... I'd kill to be on an X-Men fucking production, dude. I'd kill.
Oh, dude, I would, too. I
oh,
would
sit my
there.
God.
You want me to take that person out and rip his head off a certain way? Let's go. Which way do you want me to turn it?
Mutant Hunter, I don't care. I'll be in it. Holy shit. I don't care at all. This is...
Right?
But... So what do you think about it, man? Like, overall, in general, you can go each by each one real fast. What do you think? What do you think of that?
Well, I can't say really too much about Apocalypse because I really did not like it too much. I mean, there was a couple scenes that I kind of did like, of course, like, you know, some kind of old school artwork type things or whatever.
Yeah.
And, of course, like, you could look out in the background and see some stuff, certain stuff, too, that, you know, kind of like an Easter egg kind of clue, you know?
Yeah.
I will say that about First Class, it was nice. It was really awesome to see young Magneto and young Xavier and see why Xavier got paralyzed and stuff like that and the reason for it and all that.
Badass costumes, by the way, and all these got to say.
Yes. Oh, yeah. That was awesome. That was also awesome, too, was the badass costumes.
Yeah.
You know? Now, Days of Future Past, I can overall say was, out of all the prequels, I would say it would definitely be... my number one, and then First Class would be number two.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm 100%. And we'll see what these new ones are coming out. We'll definitely cover them on the show, folks.
Yeah, I'm going to literally keep up on myself and actually keep up on these ones now from now on, too, because it's like, oh, my God, I can't believe I didn't know about it, especially about Jean Grey, like one of my other favorite X-Men characters.
They don't really – they haven't got any new information. They're doing a bunch of reshoots and shit like that. I don't know what they're doing. I seriously don't know what Fox is doing. And this is kind of the end of the movies, and before we go into TV shows, our final subject is live-action TV shows really fast, is we don't know where these X-Men, after these ones come out, Fox isn't owning, the X-Men most are going to be, or if not before, they're going to be in the Marvel Universe, folks. You know, it's a pleasure to be able to say that for once, so we don't know what's going to happen. We'll let you guys know, and we might have a discussion of when the X-Men come to the Marvel Universe, finally, the main
MCU. Well, when
they
come over, we will have a discussion, because I'm going to be doing a lot of research when that finally happens, because it's been a long time coming.
It has. Oh, it has.
Long, long time so coming in. I mean, they've not been considered part of the Marvel Universe for how long? I mean,
since the beginning, 10 years? Since
it, yeah, about 10, 11 years, yeah.
Yeah, because
10, 11 years. It's been a long time coming, folks.
So, I mean, we'll see. And as they say in The Flash, the future is always liquid, so you never know what's going to happen. It's never set. So, moving on to live-action TV shows, to end this a little bit, because we've already been an hour. And to end... Jesus. And so, to end... This here, we want to talk about the two. I think it was New Mutants TV show back in when we don't really have that much information on it because it never really, I don't think it premiered at all. But, and then moving on to, because that was what Fox seen, it was really, really 90s. And then, they didn't really do good at all. And then there was the Legion show that came recently. And it was Legion itself. Is one that's somewhat tied to X-Men or mutants and shit like that, but it's such trippy, but a good, great art. If you love, like, art and cinematography and shit like that, holy fuck. And trippy storylines, holy fuck. Like, it's just... And Professor Xavier is mentioned and shit like that. Like, the Shadow King is the main villain and really throughout, and it is, and Mutant Hunters and Reavers and shit like that, because... You know, it's Legion, he's an Omega-level mutant with multiple personalities and shit like that. At least in the comics, he is somewhat in the show. And each personality has different power. But really, in the show so far, Legion just has all these different powers and shit like that.
Because Legion is made up of multiple demons. That's why he has multiple powers.
Partially. I mean, he's Xavier's son.
I mean, right. But I mean, if you think about the real Legion.
Oh, yeah.
That's basically what he's based off of. That's why he's got the multiple personalities. Each personality's got its own special, unique ability.
Yeah. And he's got, like, and he's so powerful. And it's, like, really, it's telepath versus telepath. And they create so much weird shit that it's tough to explain Legion. I don't even think the X-Men's really mentioned it all through it. But it's just basically taking one of the mutants and whatnot and taking it off to the side. But this one, I mean, I like Legion. I didn't watch season 2.
It sounds badass.
It honestly is. It's true. Like, you gotta pay attention, dude. And don't try to think you know what the fuck's going on. You don't.
Right.
you don't. And the next one, it's like Game of Thrones. And the next one we got is one that I absolutely fucking love. And I'm catching up on it slowly but surely because there's so much content out there. But is... and you haven't seen... You never saw Legion, obviously, if you said that. But have you seen Gifted at all?
Nope.
Gifted, folks. Fuck. Dude, you gotta watch. I'd say watch Gifted over Legion, because Gifted, it has, if you remember Wolverine and X-Men, there was a couple episodes where they went to Genosha, and it was one of his other daughters, the Scarlet Witch, obviously his daughter, and then Quicksilver, his son. Don't care what comics say now, don't give a fuck. And then, seriously, don't. Like, I seriously thought, I'm like, fuck you, don't try to change this shit. And moving on is the Polaris. Polaris is badass. Like, Lorna was badass. Like, Lorna was absolutely fucking a badass. She controls metal and shit, but she has green waves, like, instead of, like, her dad is invisible shit. And so, but she has green waves all over the place, like, green lightning and shit like that. Badass. And she gets her own, like, a little helmet thing now in season and shit like that. And they establish them that X-Men and the Brotherhood of Mutants are in there. But they're gone and disappear. The Sentinel Services are after them. And so it's based on the mutant underground, a family whose kids became mutants. And then they had to go underground because they were being hunted down by the Sentinel Services. And, you know, there's a little bit of Sentinel shit in there. They're like a Secret Service sort of thing, but hunting down mutants. And then, like, evil scientists involved. And then and then them just on the... And, like, it gets emotional. Like, I think it doesn't have... It has a few, actually, some A and C characters in it from the X-Men. Like, Emma Frost's, the Cuckoo sisters are in there. Fuck. The three sisters, I don't know if they ever made an appearance in the cartoons and shit, but they're, like, three sisters that, like, they're blonde. Beautiful. And by the way, the actress who plays them, beautiful. just gotta say that. Holy shit. So they're like telekinetic and their eyes glow blue and they connect each other and talk and shit like that. And when they're all three together, they all usually talk the same words and shit like that at the same time, usually. And then they like to use their telekinetic powers to make humans kill themselves when the humans are assholes. And also to murder and cause chaos and shit, like Emma Frost does sometimes.
Seriously making me want to watch this more and more.
Oh my god. And then so it's the Mutant Underground. The X-Men put together the Mutant Underground. The rail, like, it's an underground railroad, but for mutants. And the kids go through it and they deal with all this shit. Like, there's scenes, and there's a scene in there, man, that hit me fucking hard. Was that, like, they're at their friend's house. They're on the run, and, you know, and they left the underground base, and they had to go do a mission and shit like that. And they're in this, like, fancy, rich, white neighborhood. And it's fucked because they find out, like, one of the kids were texting the other kid and whatnot. They're at their friend's house, the kid's friend's house. You know, the parents are all talking shit like that. They're like, you gotta go. We can't keep you here. Shit's gonna happen. And the next thing you know, the kids are texting and they're like, oh, yeah, we showed the video of the one of the kids who has telekinetic powers, the brother and sister team. I'm drawing a blank on her name. Oh, the Strucker kids, who, like, powers combined, they're on their Omega level fucking powerful shit. But separately, they got their own little powers, telekinetic and then force shields and shit like that. And then they show the video and the video gets out. And so, like, the neighborhood kids, like, all talk. They tell their parents and shit like that. So all these parents, these, like, white fucking, like, racist parents and shit like that, come down. And I can't say, I'm white too, but still. And they come down, like, I want to make that clear. I am, so, but it's just given a description here. And so they come down with, like, shotguns and guns and pickup trucks and shit like that. They're like, hey, get the fuck out here, muties, basically. Now you get out here. We know you're in there. We saw the video and the pictures. You're harboring muties and shit. And they're coming to fucking kill them. And they're like, because they just hate mutants and shit like that. Because there was a bad day where mutants went, and there was X-Men and Brotherhood battle. And so there was this big protest going on there too, and I think it was mostly just like these mutants. There was a big protest, and I don't think X-Men and that were involved in this one, but they mentioned the battles and shit like that. And this big processing happened. 7:15, I think it was, or something like that. And it was a big bad date where a bunch of people died, and a bunch of innocent people got caught in a crossfire of bad mutants who wanted equal rights, and like basically between Magneto's men and Xavier's men. In a sense, that's what it was. But they weren't, but their morals and shit like that. Right. And so it caused so much tension and shit like that. And so it's so fucking good. Like, and these X-Men characters that they bring in there are, I never thought I'd see Thunderbird, never thought I'd see Sunspot, or Polaris, who I fucking love, or Struckers, or anybody like that. Like, or Blink. Blink was in X-Men Days of Future Past, and then they recast and put her in as one of the main characters for the show. The Gifted. And so The Gifted, I could go on and on about because it's so fucking brilliant. It is so worth the watch. And if you cannot tell by Victor's silence, I think he's interested.
Yeah, I am actually very interested, actually. It's on my top watch list now.
That scene fucking got me. And I show my sister and she's like, this show
is fucking excellent. Dude, I've not even watched it yet. Just your description alone.
It's on two seasons now.
I'm playing it in my head right now.
It's on two seasons. Like, it did see that season one. That's like season one, episode three.
So yeah, it's like, see, that's shit. That's how you can tell if you got a good one or not.
Man. Oh, God, yeah. And it might have been episode four. But it's still really early in there. And, you know, in season two, I'm loving it so far. I'm a couple episodes behind. But I'm loving it so far. The Gifted is an amazing show. But, yeah. And so that, folks, is our coverage. Now, Victor, is there anything else you want to cover on these?
Honestly, let's save some for later.
That's true. Well, I mean, I'm talking about movies and TV shows and shit like that. Because
yeah, that I is our coverage. Yeah, I haven't really got into much of the shows like that and stuff. So I really can't cover not much. I really can't cover much on there either, you know, on that department.
Well, I mean,
I will eventually, trust me. I will. I'm very, very speedy at watching stuff, so I will catch up to where you're at very soon.
Oh, probably. It's pretty easy. And it's really the X-Men, folks, as you can tell, they're a big part of our lives. They're a big part of everybody's lives, no matter who you are. They really, really are. And I think now the X-Men are more important than ever. You know what? They've been important in culture. The X-Men and their characters and shit like that, mutants, have been important in culture since their creation, and they're not going away anytime soon. So that's a conversation for comics, too, but, you know, they're not going away, and what they stand for, what it means, it just changes motives all the time. Like, now it's, people for gay rights and shit like that, and still racism to this day, and all this other shit, and you know, and so it really, really, the X-Men are a really good thing. These movies and TV shows that we've covered today, folks, that if you haven't seen these, by the way, just go check these out. If you haven't seen certain movies, or you haven't seen certain of the cartoons or live-action shows, go check them out. And if we missed one or two, we're terribly sorry, but as you can tell, there's a fucking shit ton to cover.
There's a lot to cover, folks. Oh, my God. It will get covered. Yeah. It will get covered. It's just, if we miss something now, we apologize.
Exactly. And we're going to miss shit in the comics episode, because that's already probably, I'm going to probably guess an hour and a half to cover the comics because of craziness, how many there is, the different series. everything like that. Okay. This is going to be our take on the X-Men and comics because...
And trust me, I got it. And trust me, folks, I have surprises for you when it comes to that to the comics talk show. I've got a few comics that I really would love to cover involving the X-Men and a few others.
That's true. Yeah, there is. Yeah,
you know who they are. You know who they are, Dakota.
Oh, I do.
You said you haven't read them yet, but I hope you do.
There's so many X-Men books, man. They're fucking real.
No. These ones in particular, though, you know, involving a certain green, bulky creature that goes against them.
That's true. Now, folks, I do want to say thank you for tuning in, and I want to give a shout-out to one other person, because it's been shout-out galore, but this person is one of the top five X-Men fans that I know. And that is Quinn Allen, a.k.a. Kid Apocalypse, the X-Men Nerdcore rapper. Make sure you guys check him out on YouTube. And let me check and see online really fast on the website, because I want to let you guys know that he has had albums come out. He's had live shows. He's had everything like that. Like, Quinn is an amazing guy. We've had him on the show twice. He reviewed season one of Legion with me. He also went... And I came in and we interviewed him on the show. One of the first like two guests I think we had on the show was Quinn. And you know what? He takes on the costume, the mantle, and he adds a rap version of Kid Apocalypse, which Evan's already wearing a suit and shit like that already. So he just adds a little medallion and shit like that too a lot of times. And he has Dark Beast as his Ultimate Dimension like that as his friend. And I want to say, shout out to him, and if you're an X-Men fan, you got through the end, fucking check him out. Go to bandcamp.com and search Kid Apocalypse, and he's got like a bunch of different albums on there for fucking free, and then YouTube for the music videos. Brilliant, folks. Make sure you check him out. Now, Victor, check it out.
I will, actually.
and it's really badass, man. They really are, and I love Quinn so much. And he tried to do a Godzilla one, but we won't get into that. But, because I love him and he tried, but... And I supported them 100%. And so, folks, we definitely... Yeah, you can tell that one out. But, I'm sorry, Quinn. I do love you, though, man. With a passion. You're welcome back.
Hey, anytime. Bro, that's how real love is, man. It's telling somebody needs a little bit of help.
Exactly. And so, folks, make sure you check that out. And, Victor, any final words?
Go through, folks. Seriously, check this kid out. And then also, you know, read some comics, man. Read some X-Men comics and keep tuning in. You know, and take it to heart, honestly, seriously. Find someone you connect with on there, because you will. Mm. There's so many X-Men characters out there. Oh. Even if it ends up being a villain, there's a lot of good villain anti-heroes out there, too, you know?
As long as it's not Stryker, fuck him.
Yeah, no, but anybody besides Stryker, yeah, seriously, fuck Stryker.
Yeah, pretty. Hashtag fuck Stryker.
That is one character out of all Marvel that I really, really, really... Nice. Loathe entirely.
Between him and the Red Skull, it's a toughie.
Red Skull, if I had to choose, I would choose Red Skull over him anyways.
I don't know. Red Skull and the mutant concentration camps really put that in for me.
Okay, well, the concentration camp part...
Xavier's brain.
Face, okay? Yeah. He's got a shiny red head that I just want to smack around.
We won't get into that.
Not like that. I'm talking about backhand, front hand...
You're not helping your case. We're going to move on.
Damn it. You're not helping. There's a good laugh for you guys.
Yep, and that's going to be made in the fan art in 3, 2, 1. But
uh-oh.
Yeah, it is. Congrats. Rule 43. But, and we were, oh, fuck. Doomed us all. But, yeah, folks, and thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Comics and Coffee Talk Show. I've had my coffee and talked in. I don't know if Victor did or not, but one of us did. Yes. Cool shit. And so, folks, if you want to follow Victor, where can they follow you at?
You guys can follow me out at Victor Hudgens on Twitter and Victor Lilia Hudgens on Facebook. And then, of course, I always keep in tune and read the comments on the Fancore side as well on the YouTube page.
Exactly. And that is what we call a segue. To make sure, folks, make sure you guys subscribe on iTunes or Podbean.com, wherever you guys are listening to, for more Comics and Coffee Talk Show. We've had a lot of Comics and Coffee Talk Show segments, a little bit of no interviews, but let me tell you, folks, we got some kick-ass fucking interviews coming in here from Marvel and DC. We got some really cool people coming in, folks. Make sure you guys stay tuned for more episodes. And if you want any news on Comic Chronicle, Film World, or any of the other programs we have on the FanCorp Network, because we love being a part of FanCorp. It's a wonderful network. I may or may not run it, that's why. But Moving on is follow at RealFanCorp on Twitter and Instagram. That's at RealFanCorp on Twitter and Instagram. And then the FanCorp Network on Facebook and YouTube. Make sure you guys like those and follow and subscribe to stay tuned with everything, because you're going to want to stay tuned for who we got coming in and future subjects on Comics and Chronicle. And Victor, do you want to give the folks a little shout out too? Because we would love to hear from you guys of what you would like us to cover in Comics and Chronicle.
Yes,
yeah, or Comics and Coffee. Like... Blah, 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 blah.
Hey, on the Comics and Coffee folks, just you know, give us all a shout out to, you know, like, just hey, seriously, you want to hear us talk about something, a particular Marvel or DC comic, and just let us know, like, seriously, and we will love to talk about it, honestly.
Yep.
I personally would love to talk about it, especially Marvel. That is, you know, like, one of my favorites right there, and of course I do love DC as well. Yep. I love Batman and Green Arrow, all of it. You guys heard the Green Arrow conversation, and of course you're hearing the X-Men conversation here.
And the Superman literally one. Indie
seriously,
books too.
Give me something to do, folks. Like, seriously, yeah. Give me something to talk about.
Yeah, we love
talking about it. I love talking about it. I love giving my personal opinion on it, and that's all it is, folks. Just opinions.
Exactly. And coming in on here, man, it's been a blast. And, oh, folks, if you want to, you can follow me at Dakota_Morgan97 on Instagram if you want to follow me personally. Post-film shit for movies to work on and whatnot, because I work in the film industry, folks, while also holding different jobs. It's a pain in the ass. But...
Oh, man, tell me about it.
Yeah. Yo, zoo jobs and film. Yeah. But folks, make sure you follow me on there, too, because I also post some fun stuff as well for the show and the network and news and specials and whatnot. So, folks, make sure you guys subscribe, following all that fun jizz and shit like that, because this is the end of the episodes. Folks, make sure you guys stay tuned for more on a Comic Chronicle podcast. I have been your host, Society's Mutant / Metahuman Dakota Morgan, coming at you with more DC, Marvel, and indie comics, and with my special guest here,
Victor Hudgens, on this way.
Alrighty. And stay classy, Xavier School for Gifted Youngsters.